Affordable housing continues to be a hot-button topic in San Francisco this election season. There are 7 housing and homelessness measures on San Francisco's ballot, but we haven't heard much from those most impacted, the homeless. How do they feel about voting? KALW's Lucy Kang went to the Tenderloin to find out.
You're a registered voter? Would you like to be?
Lisa Galinas is sitting at a folding table near the intersection of Turk and Hyde in San Francisco. She and Laura Sinai are registering people in the Tenderloin to vote. They have stacks of voter registration forms scattered all over the table. Galinas counts how many they've collected so far today.
2, 4. Oh, 7. We got 9 more, Laura.
All right.
She's trying to match the 16 registration forms they collected yesterday. And Galinas is asking everyone who passes by if they've registered. Everyone.
You guys registered voters?
Yes, been in, did it already.
They're doing this for Tenderloin Votes, an organization that's getting out the vote in one of the neighborhoods with the lowest voter turnout in the city.
Registered voters, sir?
In the precinct where we're standing right now, less than half of residents turn out to vote in the June primaries. That drops to 32% in the next precinct over, compared to nearly 60% in the city overall.
You registered voters, sweetie? How old are you?
And you can't talk about the Tenderloin without talking about its vast street population. San Francisco's District 6, the Tenderloin in SoMa, is where the majority of the city's unsheltered homeless people stay, and where they can vote, too. Galinas herself used to be homeless in San Francisco.
And it ain't no joke, and it's not fun.
Well, when you were homeless, did you vote?
No. No.
How come?
It was never offered.
That's the scenario that Tenderloin Votes is trying to change.
Someone once said if they could organize the homeless people in the city, they could have an army of 10,000.
Jesse Johnson is the founder of Tenderloin Votes, and he's made this neighborhood his home now for the last 2 decades. He says it all started back in 2014 with this one idea.
Yes, if we could organize homeless people to vote, we would be able to swing elections.
There's actually closer to 7,000 homeless people in the city. So, is that really enough to make a difference in the elections? It depends which race you're talking about. For the presidential election, 7,000 votes are a drop in the bucket. But if you're talking about, say, the close state Senate race between District 6 Supervisor Jane Kim and District 8 Supervisor Scott Weiner, well, then there's more of a chance to make a difference. Kim beat Weiner by a mere 669 votes in June. The two are facing off against each other in November. And San Francisco voters will also be deciding on 7 city ballot measures dealing with homelessness or affordable housing.
Working people and poor people need to have a voice. You know, people in the Tenderloin, they're immensely generous and immensely, you know, engaged with each other. But that doesn't translate into voting.
Right now, that's somewhat true. I found that less than a quarter of homeless adults in the city have registered to vote in San Francisco as of mid-September. Why so low? One barrier is filling out the voter registration form, which asks for both the physical address and a mailing address. What do you do if you're homeless?
A lot of homeless people don't know. I certainly didn't know. That's one of the reasons I got involved in the TL Votes.
That's Kat Calloway, one of Tenderloin Votes' first members and a close friend of Jesse Johnson. She's lived on the streets of San Francisco for the last half a decade. She's an election poll worker who regularly attends city government meetings and also helps people to register. And she's had to figure out how to vote despite all the barriers of being homeless.
Are you planning to vote in November?
Oh, hell yeah, I've always voted. You bet.
Calloway explains to me that many homeless folks write in general delivery as their mailing address on the voter form. That's where you pick up your mail directly from the post office.
Then you can indicate a cross street that is, you know, closest to where you generally spend your time.
But Calloway says it's not just logistical barriers that keep homeless people from voting.
So many people, you know, it's not that they just don't vote, it's that they think the system has let them down and they don't want to support that system.
She thinks we're missing something big when we miss out on all those aggregate voices that aren't being heard through the decision-making process. For example, Calloway says people who are housed can't understand what it's like to be on the streets.
As long as you've got some place to go back to, I don't think you really know what it's like.
The fact that so few homeless people vote may have very real policy implications, especially in a state where so many decisions are made at the ballot. And right now, what California looks like from the voting booth is very different from who Californians actually are. According to a recent Public Policy Institute of California study, the state's electorate currently looks
predominantly white, predominantly homeowners, predominantly older, predominantly college-educated, and middle to upper income.
That's Mark Baldessari, president and CEO of the Public Policy Institute of California. The study also found that the higher your income, the more likely you are to vote. How does that affect policy? States where many more high-income people turn out to vote than low-income people tend to have larger gaps between rich and poor.
Likely voters lean towards identifying themselves with the haves,
while non-voters tend to describe themselves as the have-nots. And non-voters are more likely to want the government to spend more money on social services like schools and health care. But their opinions don't get counted in the elections, and those votes add up. Here's Kat Calloway again.
I don't really believe that my vote counts, but I believe that my vote and your vote and this vote over here, even if we vote differently as a voice, you know, it counts, and they have to listen to us.
Meanwhile, the push to make those voices heard continues. Lisa Galinas is still on the streets of the Tenderloin, asking people if they've signed up to vote.
You registered voter, sir?
Thank you.
Be patient. Patience is a virtue.
And why does she do what she does?
So they can have better quality of living and better housing.
For her, it's as simple as that. Tenderloin votes will be out in the neighborhood every week leading up to the final registration deadline, registering people to vote, one person at a time. In the Tenderloin, I'm Lucy King for Cross Currents.